Square, offering American cuisine for the discerning palate. Reservations at 526-4347. And from Peter Lowell's Cafe in Sebastopol, now offering a pre-fee dinner and wine on Thursdays with the movie beginning at 9. Brunch served Saturday and Sunday, rustic Italian atmosphere and tradition at Peter Lowell's Cafe, online at peterlowells.com. It is a little bit past 7. This is KRCB Santa Rosa, time for the wine country's most delicious hour and mouthful.
You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out.
Come over here, kid. Where's up? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. And you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? A little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar. And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. It is Michelle Anna Jordan. Hope you're having a nice Sunday. I just love this weather. I've been saying this every Sunday for several weeks now, and I'm just so glad it's not really hot yet. I hear it is supposed to become so middle of the week. But, you know, they've said it before and it hasn't happened. We're going to be talking about herbs tonight. All things herbal and herbal fair and plant sales coming up on June 21st. That is a week from today. And we visited this subject in the past. We will visit it again. It's one I'm really interested in. It's one I think it's important. And I have two guests. I have Terry Toso of Napa Valley Botanicals and Peg Schaefer of Petaluma's Chinese Medicinal Herb Farm, both of whom have been on Mouthful before. But before I introduce my guests, I want to say something I heard on the radio the other day, because it always astonishes me. Sometimes I have mediocre talk radio on when I'm working, because if I have really good music on, I just get too excited and I can't write. And if I have really bad radio on, it's just too annoying to work. And if I have nothing on at all, then my mind wanders. So I had on KGO, Dina Dell. And Dina Dell has been on what seems to be like a just really aggressive rant against alternative medicine of any kind. And it's been really picking up steam. He seems very angry about it. And, you know, on some levels, there's certainly some legitimacy because, you know, you can go too far in any direction. But what he was saying the other day, he was just ragging on herbs. And one of the things I always think of is, well, a couple generations ago, if you had a headache, your grandma might go out and get some poppies, you know, and put some poppy seeds into a cup of tea and give you a cup of tea. That would be opium that was in it, and she might give you a little neck rub. And your headache would be gone. And so there's this long, 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 long history of humans using herbs for their medicinal effects. And he just wants to go on and on about how horrible and ridiculous it is. And one of the points that he was using, and this is what's bringing us to our topic tonight, was the claims about echinacea and the health benefits of echinacea. And he called someone on it because there was some study done and it proved no effect. And he slammed them for saying they used the wrong the wrong species, the wrong type of echinacea. And he said, there they go waffling. And then he just used all these weird political analogies. There they go waffling. See, they're trying. And I was like, God, there are thousands and thousands of types of plants. Some that do things and relatives of those same plants that do nothing or do other things. So anyway, that's just been on my mind. If there are things that are on your mind about all things herbal, you'll be able to give us a call a little bit later. I'm going to have our guest talk first, but then I'll give you the phone number. In the meantime, I'm going to ask Lawrence to play us a little bit of music because my headphones are being really weird and I want to find out what's wrong.
Are you going to Scarborough Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme? Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine. Tell her to make me a kind of the deep forest green, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
Okay, we have done our electrical troubleshooting or what, engineering troubleshooting, whatever it is, and we can get going with our guests. So, Terry, thank you. I see you at the farmer's market all the time. It's
yes.
always great. And you also rounded up Peg Schaefer for the show. Thank you mm-hmm. for coming as well, Peg.
Thanks for having us.
Tell us about all things herbal, what it is, its benefit, what's going to be going on, all that sort of thing.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you. This is actually our seventh annual benefit for the Sonoma County Herb Exchange. And we'll talk a little bit later about the Herb Exchange and what it is and why it's important. But it is a benefit. And basically, this All Things Herbal is a traveling apothecary, a plant sale, and a farmer's market all in one place. So it's a pretty fabulous thing to come do. We'll have there's a lot of artisans and craftspeople skilled in the herbal arts that will be there selling their wares. And we have an amazing assortment of products that will be represented there. We'll have everything from tinctures, which are real concentrated plant medicine, to cordials, which are real yummy plant medicine, to flower essences, which are a little bit deal more on the energetic level of healing. We'll have dried herbs, some of the best you'll ever see. A huge collection of natural skin care. We'll have body scrubs and creams and lip balms and herbal soaps and
salves. Hydrosols.
Hydrosols will be there. I'm a great fan.
I
love hydrosols too, and I have at least two vendors that will have an amazing assortment of hydrosols.
Uh-huh.
And they're made here.
Uh-huh.
So
is most of the stuff that will be
almost everything that will be represented there is handmade by these artisans. And a lot of them, like in the case of my products and a couple other vendors too, they actually grow what's in the product, mm-hmm. in the hydrosol, in the salve.
And mm-hmm. it's all local folk too.
It's all local folk. And even mm-hmm. if they didn't grow it, a lot of the herbs in these products comes from the Sonoma County Herb Exchange.
Uh-huh.
So it comes from local growers. So that's a really amazing thing about a lot of these products is they're handcrafted, they're local, and a lot of the ingredients in them come from local sources.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have some kind of exotic herbal honeys and botanical perfumes. There's even locally harvested seaweed vendor coming from Mendocino.
Oh, who is that that's coming?
The O Veggies people from Mendocino. Uh-huh. So they're real exciting because they have a lot of different kinds of seaweed, mm-hmm. which is kind of hard to find. We'll have medicinal mushrooms. We've got dental products and Swedish bitters. We've even got some vendors that will be there that will be dealing with – they have products that deal with environmental sensitivities and environmental toxins. So people can come and visit those people. We have a few non-herbal vendors there, but even the non-herbal stuff is kind of plant-related. Like,
what sort of things?
I've got a woman there that's going to be selling gourd birdhouses.
Oh, cool.
And they're really sweet. Uh-huh. I've seen them online, and they're all sweet. And there's some a jewelry vendor there, too, that makes jewelry from a nut of a tree that's pretty interesting. So we'll have quite a few product vendors there. But the other thing, the reason why we call it an herb fair and plant sale is because there's going to be an extraordinary amount of plants.
Oh, great.
A lot of medicinal and culinary herbs, ornamental herbs, native plants. And a lot of these are found nowhere else. I mean, some of these, there's just no way for you to find these. The ashwagandha, pleurisy root, marshmallow. You can't just go into any store in this area and buy those. Uh-huh. And even things that are a little bit more available, but they're hard to find, like white sage and tulsi and plants like that. So, and be sure when you come to the fair that you stop at the Herb Exchange booth. We'll be there. You can meet the director of the Herb Exchange, Leslie Gardner, will be there. We'll have our catalogs there so you can see all the products that the Herb Exchange has for sale.
And what is the primary function of the Herb Exchange? It's the Sonoma County Herb Exchange, right?
It's the Sonoma County Herb Exchange, and the primary function of the exchange, it's a clearinghouse. And basically what we do is we bring buyers, like practitioners, medicine makers, together mm-hmm. with local growers. And we provide local growers with a market whereby they can sell their herbs. Mm-hmm. And to tea makers or acupuncturists, Chinese practitioners, naturopaths, just a whole slew of practitioners that, uh-huh. that want the high-quality, locally grown, organic herbs. So mm-hmm. that's the primary focus, is mm-hmm. To provide medicine to the community that's local and vibrant and the highest quality, mm-hmm. really the highest quality.
And what is your role with both the Herb Exchange and the event?
At the moment, I'm just on the board. I was the treasurer for 6 years, uh-huh. and I gave that up, and somebody else graciously took that over. and now I'm on the board, and uh-huh. I help with almost all of the benefits. And this is the one that I kind of help the most uh-huh. with, is all things herbal. Uh-huh.
And then on your own, you have Napa Valley Botanicals. Tell us a little
Correct.
Bit about that.
Yeah, it's a medicinal herb farm and a botanical product business and a small nursery. So I grow everything from plant starts to botanical products like salves and creams and lip balms. I have a whole selection of dried herbs and dried tea blends, and mm-hmm. I have seeds. And so at my booth at the farmer's market, you can buy an herb in just about any form that it can possibly mm-hmm. come in.
Okay, Peg, let's bring you into this. Now, you have Petaluma's Chinese Medicinal Herb Farm.
Correct. Yes, out in Chileno Valley. But first I wanted to touch on, which farmer's market are you at, Terry?
That would be Sebastopol, which is where the fair is going to be.
Oh, yes, at my market.
At Michelle's market.
Yes,
and we would love to see her. She's there every weekend. And I just love seeing her enthusiasm and her commitment to coming and supporting local farmers is
something to be admired.
My
week is absolutely incomplete if I have to miss that market.
Really?
I just don't know what – I don't know what to do with myself. And I don't eat as well.
Oh, and, interesting.
Because, I mean, for people who I think everyone has habits in how they buy their food. If you shop mm-hmm. at Safeway, any market, if for some reason in the time frame when you normally go there, you're sort of thrown off.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And
that's
for true. Me, my habit is shopping at the farmer's market.
Well, lucky
and
for us.
If I don't get to the – if something happens and I have to go out of town, I'm sick, whatever, and I don't get to the farmer's market, I'm just lost.
But so, you don't go to Jack in the Box or something like that.
No,
you still
oh, no.
eat good.
Oh, no. I still do. But it's, you know, it just – it throws things
yeah.
off.
No, and it's interesting.
That's I've just
a good
been
point.
Thinking about that lately because it's like, how do you get people – to make something like a farmer's market their habit.
Mm.
You know, some people see it as augmenting normal shopping. And so I've just been, when I drive around, I do a lot of thinking. So I've been thinking, well, how do you get people to see the supermarket as augmenting the farmer's market rather than the other way around? So anyway, just my thoughts lately.
That's a great thought.
So, yes, it's taking place. And it's the hours stretch beyond. Is it?
Actually, it is. It's from 10 till 3.
Yeah.
But the vendors, the farmer market vendors, are really gracious, and they hang out until about 2 or so.
Yeah.
But we're still there for about an hour later, which is kind of nice because if you've got other things that you're doing earlier in the day, you still have plenty of time to get there.
Mm-hmm. And you can come and spend the day, too.
Oh, definitely. There's going to be music all day. There is such yummy food that is going to be there. And it, just to go through all the vendors that are going to be there between the market and the fair would practically take all day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Now, tell us some about your farm, Peg.
It's a experimental farm, partly an experimental farm, and then also we grow organic, certified organic, Chinese medicinal field-grown herbs and also seed.
And what does that mean, field-grown?
As opposed to transplants. I don't sell transplants. I sell grown-out herb, finished herb.
Okay. Gotcha.
for medicine makers, and partly through the exchange, partly through a website, lots of different venues for that. We're partly educational, so I've got a lot of interns, and I do a lot of speaking at the acupuncture schools. It's quite the niche. It's a very directed kind of thing, the Chinese medicinal herbs. Mm-hmm. But that's where I've wandered, and that's where I'm working these days.
And who are your customers? Do they tend to be people in the North Bay, throughout the Bay Area, or throughout the West Coast?
It's a West Coast kind of thing because it is such a niche market. It takes somebody that knows what to do with the Chinese herbs because not everybody is educated in the use of them, of course. So it's up and down the coast mostly. It's medicine makers. It's tincture folks. It's Chinese herbalists. It's progressive pharmacies. And sometimes it's all on the East Coast, but there's not too much happening in the middle of the country. But people are very excited when they see the quality of the material, as would happen with the Western herbs that are coming out of the Sonoma County Herb Exchange, too.
Now, one thing I'm curious about, you see, say, in wine, for example, and I think you can say this about absolutely anything, you see fashions and trends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything will be about Merlot for a while, and then it's, you know, Chardonnay, and then it's Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir. Yeah.
Do we see trends in interest in herbs? Are there, you know, popular herbs for the moment, herbs of the day or
you
the
bet.
Year? What are some of those right now?
In my niche, which is about the only thing I can speak to, but or at least the one I can speak to with any authority, one of the herbs sitting in front of you is jiagulan.
That's the one, this one that that I could absolutely not identify.
That's right. Yeah, it was Stump the Michelle. So I gave her an herb. I don't know what it is. So it's a sweet tea vine is its common name, and its botanical name is Gynostemma pentaphyllum. And it's a very interesting herb, and it's very trendy. So I'm getting a lot of orders for it these days.
What do people want it for? What do they do with it?
I can lightly address that. Mainly I'm a grower, but it's primarily it's considered an adaptogen. So it's for blood pressure and normalizing blood sugars and things like that. And it's very interesting that way. And I think because adaptogens are such a buzzword these days.
I've never heard the word before.
Okay. Well, in the herbal world, it tends to get a lot of press.
I assume it makes you then adapt
exactly
to your current situation.
It normalizes your potential issues.
Helps you adapt to stress.
Mm-hmm.
Is basically what they are.
Yeah, exactly. And this one actually, jiagulan actually tastes pretty good.
And how does one use it?
Its common name is sweet tea vine, and it's customary in China to just get almost a wad of that in a teacup, and they either pour tea over it or just hot water over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's an interesting herb, and it's quite trendy these days, and I'm expecting in a couple of years to not get so many orders for it as it becomes more familiar and it finds its balance within the mix of herbs.
Mm-hmm. What else is hot, so to speak?
Well, I think like what you have sitting in front of you, the holy basil or the tulsi, has really exploded in the last few years. And I didn't hear very much about it prior to just like 2 or 3 years ago. And now it's just everybody wants tulsi.
Well, it's
an amazing herb.
Yeah, it's primarily an Ayurvedic herb. Mm-hmm. And as more schools are coming online for Ayurvedism, the herbal tradition of India, it's becoming more well known. And it smells really good, and people love a basil, and it's a kind of a type of basil, and it's very accessible. It's a hydrosol. Feel free to spritz it on yourself.
Yeah, it's got a very intense smell, but one that doesn't make me.
I thought it was spicy, and then Peg said clove, and then when she said clove, that's what I smelled.
Yeah, clove and something else. Yeah, but it's not basil.
Not basil.
Not basil. It's much warmer.
Mm-hmm.
To me, basil is warm, but not as warm as this. Almost. clove, almost but not quite cinnamon, too.
Mm-hmm. Cinnamony, yeah. I felt spicy cinnamon.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm.
It's delicious.
Yeah. Do you get into any of the roots that are used in the way that I'm thinking particularly of Ava, when I'm very interested in the grown in the tropics?
Yeah. Many of the Chinese medicinal herbs are roots. And so on our farm, I would say probably about a good almost half of our herbs are roots. And many of them are edible herbs. So it's like eat your medicine kind of thing. Uh-huh. So there's like a Chinese yam, a Dioscorea. Uh-huh. And that's very good. And it's neutral for the stomach, speaking of hot and temperatures and things like that. And it's mm-hmm. very good for the stomach, and it's very good for the mm-hmm. infirm or young or elderly, mm-hmm. just as one. But I've also got not quite a root, but I've got some lemongrass right in front of me.
It looks like lemongrass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I harvested that this morning, and it was like, oh, this is nice.
I love lemongrass, but I don't know anything about its properties. As an herb, I know about its culinary properties. Mm-hmm. How would you use this in?
It's a supreme digestive, it's really good for settling the stomach, especially for cramping, stomach cramping, colicky kind of situations, mm-hmm. anything like that where you've got. I hate this word, but I'm going to use it because I can't think of another. Flatulence.
It's okay. You can use the word.
I don't like that word, though, but I couldn't think of another one. But, yeah, it's real good for that. So very soothing to the digestive uh-huh. tract.
Now, what about any interest in any requests for salvia divinitis?
Oh, divinorum?
Divinorum. Okay.
Yeah.
Divinorum.
Oh, yeah. Usually they're like young men, and they call up at funny times, the day or night. Uh-huh. And ask me if I've got any of it.
Really?
Yeah. Clearly, they already had some.
Because I've read about it, and I'm absolutely fascinated by it.
Well, from a plant standpoint of view, it's fascinating to a grower like me because it has been cultivated for so long that mm-hmm. it really has almost lost its ability to flower.
Really?
Yeah. So it's almost always propagated by cuttings. So there's only a few plants like that in the world,
uh-huh.
and that is one of them.
And it's because it's just been grown out, what, so
mm-hmm,
many?
Mm-hmm. Huh. It's under the auspices of humans now.
Hmm. Really? Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Micropollen.
So if it's not up to humans, that's something that would probably just fade away because it's not propagating itself in the wild.
Well, it might be. I mean, it could be growing up and getting heavy and falling over and then rooting.
Uh-huh, okay.
It could be doing that. I'm not sure. I don't grow it. It's not Chinese.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not Chinese. It's Mexican. Yeah, it's South American?
Yes.
Okay. I thought Mexican, I guess that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That direction.
That
south.
Direction. Yeah. I just the reason I know about it was there was a report on NPR News about it a few years ago. I'd never heard of it. And the description on NPR News was just fascinating.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's fascinated a lot of people.
Well, it's a mild hallucinogen, and that's uh-huh. always fascinating to people. But the main reason that I haven't propagated it is just because I was a little bit worried about how people might use it or I remember once I took out an ad on a local web Craigslist and mm-hmm. and said what I was doing and put a whole list of medicinal herbs that I had for sale, and the only hits that I ever got were, "Are you growing salvia divinorum?"
Oh, really?
And
so, gee, I'm just part of a really sleazy contingent, aren't I? I'm just.
I wanted to go there.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I've never seen it. You know,
it's a pretty plant. It actually is a pretty plant.
I've never sought it out or anything
like
that.
It is a true salvia.
And I don't indulge in hallucinogens.
Oh.
Just the description of it sounded so fascinating.
Well, I think a lot of these herbs, the ones that we've used for recreational use, mm-hmm. they are fascinating because it is still medicine. It's mm-hmm. just really strong and powerful medicine. Mm-hmm. And you have to be careful with how you treat. Yeah. You have to treat these plants with respect. And I think that's the thing that I didn't like about what was going on with Salvia divinorum is mm-hmm. It was being disrespectful to that plant and its medicine.
Not a good thing.
Not a good thing.
And when you think about it, with that as medicine or as a gift, let's say you have any psychoactive or any herb with really strong healing or stimulating qualities, and it just grows, and no one ever partakes of what it's offering.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there completion for the herb in having its qualities and offering them, and then how do you see what I mean? Is there a give and take? Is that too weird a question?
Well, no, that's a fascinating question, actually. It just feels like we somehow discovered them all.
Well, I don't think we've discovered them
you
all.
You don't?
No.
Well, maybe there's some down in the Amazon that we don't know about.
Oh, there's
yet.
A lot
but
of
it's more like if hops, for example. Hops has all these amazing qualities.
Right.
But so many things in nature do.
Yeah.
And back to what I said about this odd stance that Dr. Dina Dell is taking. And there's this idea that, well, the best way to interact with, you know, medicine or with anything, with putting things into your body that will influence it mm-hmm. in some predictable and positive way, must be done from the point of view of a laboratory, that it's only under the control of humans and human invention that you actually get something real. When it seems to me if you turn around and you look at the earth and what nature has provided, it's all there.
And that's a really fascinating argument because what about food? When you eat an apple, you get all the things that that apple has, the vitamins, the minerals, the pectin, mm-hmm. and that's true with all the good the foods that we eat mm-hmm. that we know are nourishing our bodies, and that doesn't come from a laboratory, and
right.
that doesn't need to be concentrated or consolidated into a pill. In fact, it's better. It's always better to get your uh-huh. get your nutrients from whole foods.
But, you know, there has been a tradition, especially in the United States, there has been a tradition of people believing that the more a thing, a food, is controlled, the better it is for you.
Western reductionist yeah. thinking.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I remember Ruth Waltenspiel when she was first out there with her organic nuts and fruits and then the organic mm-hmm. sun-dried tomatoes. She had more people calling asking if it truly was safe to eat something organic.
Oh.
And there's still that, there's still a big swath of, you know, people, of a population that thinks that way.
That's because the people that are making money off
yes. it. Yep, there we go. Yeah.
Are trying to convince people yeah. that. I was just reading an article in the newspaper the other day, and it was talking about pu'er tea. And
I live on pu'er.
Yeah, pu'er tea is great. I think I had some this morning, if not yesterday morning. But at any rate, so they were talking about their laboratory is trying to figure out the active constituents.
Oh, yes.
So when this is what they think are the active constituents, and then they're going to try and perhaps put them into a pill so that it's more convenient for people. But what would be more convenient than just drinking the tea? And we've been around and around with this reductionist thinking mm-hmm. previously that we don't really know. We can only guess. It's the same old thing that happened with Hypericum, St. John's wort, where
oh, right.
yeah, where we thought that we, being the scientists, thought that we'd picked out what were the active components, mm-hmm. and then standardized it and made medicine out of it, only to find later that it really wasn't that particular yeah. component. It was something else in it. And had we kept it whole, we would have gotten it. But there was lots of people yeah. that spent a lot of money.
Yeah. It's like with so many things, trying to find the active element mm-hmm. in wine that mm-hmm. that accounts for its good effect on the heart. Mm-hmm. And I think beta-carotene has been one that's really made it into mainstream conversation, people wanting to take beta-carotene, you know, supplements. And guess what? Beta-carotene is better for you when you actually get it from food.
Orange food.
And the amazing thing to me about herbal medicine, too, is herbal medicine to me is about interacting with the plant itself, mm-hmm. the raw ingredient itself. So making yourself a cup of tea is part of the healing, is part of the magic of the plant. Mm-hmm. Going out and snipping some parsley and chives and marjoram or lovage or whatever, that's part of the magic of herbal medicine.
Yes. No one's
you don't have to
ever
make your own tincture yeah. to do herbal medicine. You can make an herb salad. And so to me, taking it in a pill form mm-hmm. isn't very satisfying.
It's like you can't read an Agatha Christie novel where every time someone's nerves gets all a flutter, someone's given a pill. It's just not the same. Your nerves are soothed because someone makes you a cup of tea.
Exactly.
And if that cup of tea has qualities that further soothe
the process,
the nerves,
definitely.
Fine.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of soothing nerves and such, does anyone know, do we know why cats react to catnip?
Why did I know you were going to ask that?
I don't know.
I just knew you were going to ask that. I knew you were going to ask it, and I thought, I better look that up because I don't know. And I really don't know. The only thing that I do know is that it whatever is the constituent in catnip that cats react to, we also react to it just in a different way. For humans, catnip is very soothing and calming. And for cats, it's very euphoric and stimulating.
But I don't know the actual
compound that is in catnip that makes them just react crazy.
I mean, I give it, I have a little jar, and every now and then I'll open the lid and set it down for Poe, and it's completely predictable. He gets really excited and he starts walking around it because I leave the lid on so he has to shove it off. Mm-hmm. And he shoves it off and he puts his nose in it, and then he falls over on his side and starts slobbering.
Oh, yeah.
And then sort of moves
too.
His feet around, so he's sort of going around in a circle, and then he jumps on it and he gets really jacked up, and then he puts his head upside down in it. And, you know, if I do it every day, which I don't, but if I do it a couple days in a row, he's not so interested. But every 3 or 4 weeks, oh my God, it's like.
And you know the other good thing about doing that? Do you know that it is actually a flea repellent, a natural flea repellent?
Really?
I actually use catnip in my bug repellent, and it's a fantastic flea repellent. So if they are regularly
intelligent nature.
See, they know. They know.
So there we go. Nature is giving us something
what they need.
That cats love so that they'll come up so they won't have fleas.
Exactly.
That is brilliant.
Scarborough Fair, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine. Tell her to make me a cowrick shirt, a deep forest green, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
Yeah, it's Mouthful. It's Michelle Jordan. It is KRCB. We're going to invite you to join in the conversation if you have any questions, with a few limitations. Don't want to take questions this evening that would better be directed at an actual practitioner or herbalist. Both of my guests this evening are growers. We can recommend books. We can recommend almost anything about growing and landscaping with herbs. But when it comes to specific treatment with herbs, that's not the area of expertise of my guests this evening. So with that qualification, here's the number, 588-0637. 588-0637. And I'll bet they can even tell you what herbs gophers won't eat, which we may get to whether you call or not. So I'm hoping that they don't eat catnip.
No, but I will tell you that rabbits like catnip. And that surprised me out at the farm because here I thought, ooh, safe. There's no cats out here, and gophers don't appear to be liking it. But somebody was still rolling in my catnip out at the farm. And one day, I caught two bunnies in the catnip.
Getting high on the catnip, huh?
Yeah.
I don't. So, to my knowledge, I don't have rabbits, but maybe I'm going to find out that I do. Vivian Hillgrove, who has Mom's Head Gardens, and for a long time was part of plant sales. I'd always
very
see her
so.
At the JC.
Oh, she was very instrumental in starting.
She made the most amazing hydrosol. I'm so upset that I haven't had it for like four
years.
And her
rose cream.
Her rose cream. But her sweet orange and jasmine hydrosol is my favorite thing in the world, and I wish she would do it again. Is she participating anymore these days?
No, she's back working.
She's doing a lot in Hollywood.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She's a little filmmaker.
Yes. Maybe one day she'll be back.
Yes. I still think that you'll find some beautiful hydrosols. If you were to come, I think you could find something that might be a substitute.
I did find some sweet orange at Rosemary's Garden.
Good.
And that is the first one I found that
sort of, it's like, okay, I can live now. So what else is good? What, we have all these other herbs in front of us. This looks really familiar. This is oregano flowers?
It's oregano going to bloom. Mm-hmm. And it's just very young bloom, so it's a good time to harvest it and dry it and save it throughout for the season.
How do you dry herbs?
I dry them in a dark place with a lot of ventilation. That's the easiest way. Mm-hmm. If you're drying flowers, you may want to dry with a small dehydrator because it will protect the flowers. Uh-huh. It makes the best, like chamomile would dry the best in one of those kind of dryers.
Uh-huh. And somebody once told me, take the herbs and tie them together, hang them upside down, mm-hmm. and put a brown paper bag over them. Loosely, so yeah. to prevent dust and stuff is what I figured.
Well, it should dry before it gets dusty.
Okay.
Or you need to take it down. But if it's a foggy time like we've been having now, the herbs just may rot. So ventilation is pretty important. Uh-huh. It's pretty key for drying the
that
herbs.
That and the darkness, light is really the enemy of the herbal medicine, the qualities that you want in the medicine. And also just the cosmetic appearance of it when it's dry. In order to keep that nice vibrant color in mm-hmm. it, you really need to dry in a darker, very low mm-hmm. light.
Mm-hmm. What mm-hmm. am I smelling?
That's Agastache rugosa. It's Korean mint.
Oh, as I say, it sounds licorice. Kind of smells like mint, but yeah. it doesn't look like the mint I know. So
it's in the mint family.
Okay, and it's Korean.
Yeah, it grows about 4 feet tall and is a beautiful flower. It's a great habitat.
Now, here's another one of the same genus but a different species that I brought you as an excellent butterfly
hyssop.
Plant. And this is anise hyssop. It's not hyssop. It's anise hyssop, so it's not a true hyssop. Uh-huh. But it's the same as this plant, the same genus. It's just a different species. Uh-huh. So smell this one and smell the difference in them. They're both marvelous tea herbs. They mm-hmm. make just a delicious tea.
That smells
tea.
Like and tastes like licorice.
Very calming, very soothing herb, uh-huh. and a wonderful butterfly plant. And bees too, just mm-hmm. adore this plant.
Mm-hmm. And why do we say certain plants are butterfly plants? Is it because the butterflies like to land on them, like to eat from them? What's the deal?
Yeah, two reasons. There's usually two reasons why a butterfly is visiting a plant. One, it's a larval host plant mm-hmm. for the butterfly. In other words, it is going to be laying its eggs on that plant.
Okay, so
and
host
there's
plant.
Specific
okay.
plants that it does that. Mm-hmm. And then you have a whole other set of plants that are nectar rich. So that's its food source. That's where it's getting its nectar and its food.
Mm-hmm.
And they're usually not the same plant. So it's kind of interesting.
Okay. Yeah, that is interesting. Okay, so the number if you want to join us again is 588-0637. Don't be shy. Give us a call. Let's see, what else do I have? This is, well, we've got some lavender. And this looks mm-hmm. like lemon.
I think it's lemon balm. I can't quite see from here.
I was going to say lemon balm. Yes, it's lemon balm. Tons of lemon balm in my, something else, gophers don't eat.
And another really important plant for bees, I call this actual bee medicine, the lemon balm, because when it is flowering and the bees visit it, it's actually an immune stimulant for bees.
For bees,
so
really?
It helps the bee health. And so it's a really important plant for people to put in their gardens. I'm sure that most people are aware of what's going on with bees yeah. and their little immune systems are being compromised. And there's all these sicknesses going on out there. And so this is a really great plant. To help them stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And let's see. So then we have the oregano, and then let's see.
Lemon verbena, one of my favorites.
Yes.
Never get tired of that smell.
Lemon verbena, just lemon verbena in some water.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In ice water or in iced tea. It's fabulous. Not iced tea, lemonade.
Oh, lemonade.
Lemon verbena.
Yeah, that does sound good.
And lemonade, it's really excellent. And then here we have a type.
I think that's chocolate mint.
Oh, what an interesting aroma this has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the chocolate mint. And it's interesting because
it's also briny.
It's pepperminty, but it really does, when you're drinking the tea, uh-huh. it does have an aftertaste uh-huh. of chocolate.
Yeah, it has that aroma too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really interesting stuff. Thank you for bringing them. So, what's next? We were saying something that was next, and now I forget.
We talk a little bit more about the Herb Exchange and what the organization is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to address that, Peg?
Sure. Well, this event that we're talking about, All Things Herbal, is being supported by the Sonoma County Herb Exchange, and which is a project of the Sonoma County Herb Association. And the association and the exchange have been around for about 10 or 11 years just about here in Sonoma County. Wonderful organizations, and the mission statement, actually, which is a wonderful mission statement. So, I mean, it's not one of the dry ones you hear about, but the mission statement is fostering respect for the green world and our community through responsible use and sustainable cultivation of herbs. So there's a lot of education that goes on with the Sonoma County Herb Association, and these events that get put on periodically through the year are some of them. So All Things Herbal is somewhat educational, but there was just an event in Sebastopol, and it was Bringing Back the Green. It was an event with Matthew Wood, a renowned herbalist, and it was a wonderful evening. And that was also a benefit for the Herb Association mm-hmm. and the Herb Exchange. And we'll be having another one in the fall, and it's a botanical brews and bands, so look forward to that. It's kind of a harvest festival, and that'll be at Laguna Farm in Sebastopol, and that's coming up in...
It's going to be in early October. I don't think we've set the date yet, but early October.
Exactly. So one of the things that the Herb Exchange does, the Sonoma County Herb Exchange does, is it helps bring together, like Terry was saying earlier, bring together growers and practitioners or users of herbs so that we can have a local dialogue with them, a community servicing for the local herbs. And then also it helps support farmers so that not everybody is driven to grow grapes to try and to try and make a living. Mm-hmm. Diversification is very important for conservation. And so that's one of the things that we try and do is provide a venue for growers to be able to grow different plants.
Mm-hmm. Is there money in, I mean, if somebody has an acre of land that they want to devote to something commercial, can you make money with an acre of herbs?
I think you can. Yes. Okay. Yeah. And every farm is different. Mm-hmm. I get that question a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, just sort of in general, I don't expect any sort of breakdown, but is it realistic to think that you could do something like that?
I think it is. It's considered a value-added crop or a non-commodity crop, mm-hmm. so it's not like growing rice or wheat something like that. So it's put in a different category where the prices are generally higher.
Yeah, well, and I know, what's his name, Greg... Is it Greg Nielsen? I think it's Greg Nielsen. Wine Country Herbs. He's grown culinary herbs. Started back quite a long time ago.
Yes, he did.
And he's, I think, done very well with his herb farm. Mm-hmm. And I think it's half an acre.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, and it's a very niche market, mm-hmm. and so when you have the specialized niche markets like that, you tend to get a little bit more money than for things like growing like corn or wheat or something like that. But also what's really important about that is a lot of these plants that we're growing here in this area, several of them are actually endangered in the wild, because when herbs started to get really popular in the 70s and 80s, some of these herbs got harvested to within an inch of their lives.
Really? Which ones in particular?
Well, things like echinacea and pleurisy root and some of these herbs that just ginsengs and some of these herbs, they need to be, their medicine isn't good until like 7 or 8 years. And people went, so when you're stripping the ground of these plants mm-hmm. and it takes so long for these plants to renew themselves, mm-hmm. this is a big problem. And so we were having lots of people going out knowing that there was big money in wildcrafting, going out and not very ethically harvesting mm-hmm. these plants. So it's really important that we have local growers that are growing these plants that are, in some cases, actually endangered mm-hmm. or rare in the wild anymore.
Now, has there been a change? Has that sort of environmental sensitivity and ethics, has that, you know, really returned to...
I think there's been more awareness uh-huh. about it. There's certainly, that's one of the things that the Herb Exchange and the Herb Association, along with the organizations like United Plant Savers, which that's their uh-huh. their key message, is helping to protect endangered medicinal plants before they're gone, because that is a very real possibility that uh-huh. some of these plants just go away if we're not careful and we're not more ethical with our harvesting. Mm-hmm. And I think there is a greater awareness now, mm-hmm. but there needs to be more.
Mm-hmm. One of the things we were talking about when we were listening to music was practitioners, herbalists, that if you want to take advantage of some of the qualities of herbs, some of the active qualities and you don't know much about it. Maybe you should consult a professional, perhaps.
Always a good idea. We actually have a list on the Sonoma County Herb Association's website. It's a mm-hmm. resource guide. Mm-hmm. And can I give that website?
Sure, but we'll give the website right when we're through talking.
Sure.
We always do that at the end of Mouthful. By then, people have their pens and papers.
Okay, sounds great. But there's a whole list of you know, practitioners uh-huh. and different categories to do with anything herbal.
I know Gail Julian has been on Mouthful before, and we've had a couple other herbalists as well.
Yeah, perfect.
And can you also learn to, you know, treat yourself in many ways through what you grow?
Yeah, it's a learning experience uh-huh. for sure, but it's very easy to start. Most of the other cultures in the world seem to have a much more intact sense of what's uh-huh. safe to use. You know, just around here, we can even start with just making tea out of our lemongrass and lemon balm and things like that, and mm-hmm. just experiencing some of the reactions that we have for them, or picking up a book.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the books you recommend for beginning herbalists?
Well, there's a really great one and that I'd like to mention first, and it's by Leslie Gardner. It's actually the director uh-huh. of the Sonoma County Herb Exchange, and she's also on the board of Sonoma County Herb Association. And this is a new book. She had written one before with Ruth Dreyer, and she's updated it, completely changed it, actually. And she calls it Life in the Medicine, A Guide to Growing and Harvesting Herbs for medicine making. And it's a great book, and it's a very reasonable book. It's $17, and you can get it at Rosemary's Garden, or you can get it over at Harmony Farms.
Harmony Farms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And she describes each herb in detail, and there's a line drawing by a local artist, and Mitch's last name. At any rate, so one thing that this book is so great about is it talks directly how to dry herbs, how to harvest and how to dry them. And there's a lot of books out there on herbs that don't talk about how to do that. You know, what do you do with it after you have it mm-hmm. growing? And so this is a really great book. I think it's a wonderful book, and it's very new. Uh-huh. It's quite new.
Life in the Medicine, that looks great.
And another thing to consider when buying an herb book is it's really nice to buy an herb book that was written by an herbalist, because there's an awful lot of herb books out there these days that are just put together. They're compiled by editors, or somebody is paid to just put together that information that's floating around out there on the internet or whatever.
Oh, right. You want somebody who actually knows what they're doing.
Yeah, some clinical knowledge is always a good thing.
And Leslie is an herbalist, and also she's local. I mean, this is all about growing herbs locally. Uh-huh. So
there's another really good growing book that I used early on when I was teaching myself how to grow or farm herbs, and that's from Tim Blakely, and he's the one that mm-hmm. started the garden at the California School of Herbal Studies.
Oh, that's why I know. That's why I know.
Yeah,
his name.
The name of his book is "Medicinal Herbs in the Garden, Field, and Marketplace," and his was really, really helpful to me. Not just about growing, but also being very realistic. Like you mentioned earlier, you know, can you realistically make money from growing mm-hmm. these plants? And he even addresses issues like that. Mm-hmm. So it's a very good resource.
Mm-hmm. There's also another one that I'm particularly fond of, and it's called The New Encyclopedia of Herbs and Their Uses by Denny Brown.
I like that one, too.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and you can pick it up at Copperfield's Books. That's where I got it. And it's got a lot of pictures. The photos are very accurate, and they're big enough to see, and it's just a very helpful book, and it's got a lot more herbs than just, you know, the few that are very common. It's got a few Ayurvedic herbs, it's got a few Chinese herbs, you know, so it covers the worldwide scene, and it's very comprehensive.
Yeah, I have a really old book on herbs, and one of the things I love about it is it gives the planets, the gods, the planets and the gods the herb is associated with, and how to use it in spells.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That must be really old.
I just love reading stuff like that. I think it's really fun.
This is such an herbally rich community here. We have a lot of herbalists in this area, uh-huh. and they've written books. People like David Hoffman, Rosemary Gladstar, mm-hmm. Pam Montgomery, Matthew Wood. All of these are pretty local people, and they've all written really, really good herb books.
Good. Well, let's wrap up with revisiting what's happening next Sunday. We have All Things Herbal going on, at the same location as the Sebastopol Farmers Market. It's an herbal fair. It's a plant sale. It begins at 10. It continues until 3 o'clock. Are there going to be herbalists there? People can go and get
definitely
information from herbalists.
There will definitely be some practitioners.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the people that make these products do actually know an awful lot about the medicinal actions of the herbs in their mm-hmm. products. So, yeah, definitely.
That sounds great. And we didn't talk about it. There's no charge.
It's totally free. It's totally mm-hmm. free, as the farmer's market always is. And the other thing about the herb fair is that there is a farmer's market attached to it. So there's this whole array of other vendors where there's beautiful produce. I don't know if you noticed last week. Did you see the first tomatoes, Michelle? Tomatoes were already coming out. And the peaches
I saw the first tomatoes. And I thought about it.
Oh, the peaches.
I put a tomato in my hand and I thought, you know, it's from Winters. I'm going to wait.
So yeah, it's a little early for us
I'd
here.
I'd say, because for me, the first
field. But I just got excited just even seeing
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I did have somebody gave me a couple of peaches and the first plums.
Yep,
so
it's coming on. Lots of produce. Really, there's lots of beautiful crafts people over there. There's lots of good food, goat cheese and mm-hmm. olive oil and organic bread. And
one thing that's really interesting in the market right now, and I'm hoping to do a whole episode here on Mouthful about it soon, is there's a man, Jimmy, who is working with some fishermen in Louisiana to get Gulf shrimp here within 12 hours of coming out of the water. Now, yes, I have a conflict. Eat local, that sort of thing. But at the same time, we also have a pretty battered Gulf Coast that is still recovering from the devastation of Katrina and mm-hmm. the other hurricanes that have hit them.
So they need support.
So hard. They really need support.
Yeah.
And especially the ones who are individual fishermen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's the White Boot Brigade, which is an organization of fishermen that are guaranteeing, you know, that their shrimp are real from the boat and stuff. But now there's Jimmy, who has Gulf Fish and is getting them. And he's working with Dave LeGros. So Dave now has just a bucket of Gulf fish sitting there with it, with the other fish that he has, and he's helping Jimmy to distribute them. And in a nice coincidence, a book arrived in the mail on Gulf Coast shrimp. And it's really interesting. The whole culture of shrimping in the Gulf is fascinating. There's a huge Vietnamese population. Went to one of the best Vietnamese restaurants I've ever been in
really?
In my life in Biloxi, Mississippi. And it's because so many Vietnamese have moved there because they're good fishermen. So anyway, that's just one of the, and I wouldn't really know much about any of this had I just not started my conversations at the farmer's market
about
Gulf fish.
Oh, mm-hmm. wow. That's pretty amazing.
So,
yeah, there's some really interesting people and there's people that have been coming to that market for such a long time. So
yeah, it's great. And I always say, your farmer's market is the one nearest you.
Yeah.
Don't feel like you have to go to another market to see if it's better.
Yeah.
Always look close to home.
Yeah.
I think if I lived in Healdsburg,
that
would be my market.
Absolutely.
But then if you're out and about and you want a little field trip, visit your other farmers markets. You'll always find wonderful surprises. Even if you go every week, if you keep your eyes open, things will surprise you. Well, thank you so much to both of you. We have websites now that we're going to give. We wanted to give the Herb Exchange, right?
Right. And it's the same. The Sonoma County Herb Association and the Sonoma County Herb Exchange is the same website. And you can get the catalog from what the exchange has to offer on that site. And that's www.sonomaherbs.org.
SonomaHerbs.org. Do you have a website?
I do. It's ChineseMedicinalHerbFarm.com.
ChineseMedicinalHerbFarm.com.
I do not. I'm not that sophisticated yet.
It's okay. We can find
you
at the farmer's market.
You can just find me at the market.
And on that note, thanks again for tuning in to Mouthful. Have a great week and meet me back here next Sunday at 7 for another episode of Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. And thanks very much to Lawrence once again for his masterful engineering.
Mouthful is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan. Lawrence Alberti is Mouthful's engineer. For more information about Mouthful, send an email to mouthful@michelleannajordan.com. That's Michelle with one L. You can also download Mouthful's free podcast from krcb.org or from iTunes.